welcome to another episode of Mage Hand High Five. I'm your Dungeon Master, Casey Pappas, and this week's ranking was submitted by Eggshell Eater Crunch Crunch.
Yeah.
On our Discord.
Who's feeling very
Thanks,
proud of
buddy.
Himself today.
Crunching.
Thanks, buddy.
If you want to see your ranking on the show, consider subscribing to our Patreon. And now, ranked least to most likely to keep a venomous creature as a pet and put a little hat on it.
Yeah.
First and least surprising, Max Weinberg.
Hello, it is me, Max Weinberg, right where I belong, at the bottom. Ooh. And I am playing Wyatt Forsythe, and he also would not keep a venomous pet.
The next two are a toss-up. And I think next is Robin Langenhop.
And you would be correct. This is Robin Langenhop playing Hayden Kincaid. And I love the idea of a tiny hat. Don't get me wrong. But it does depend a little bit on the venomous creature. But mostly, I'm terrified that of all of them. Scorpions especially. I used to work at a pet store. And if you tried to buy the scorpion, you would have to get it out of the cage yourself. And I refused to feed it because I wanted to watch it die.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
I don't like scorpions.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
That's understandable. That's an understandable take.
I don't want to live anywhere that I could put my shoe on and die.
Yeah.
Oh, you haven't heard of the famous Seattle scorpions?
Get out.
See, I thought it'd be the venom that would trip you up.
Yeah.
And that's
Robin's
why
safe.
Last, Rowan McStay.
Hi, I'm Rowan McStay, playing Solomon Briar. And, you know, I love all the creatures of this world. I don't like keeping them as pets unless they want to be there, which most venomous creatures, like, don't.
Famously.
But I feel like if the venomous creature really needed a home, and this was a world where that creature wanted to live with me, I'd put a little hat on it. I did, one time when I was a kid, I rescued...
There it is. There it is.
Once I was a kid,
the kid story.
I rescued a beetle from a science lab and I took it home and my mom was like, you can't keep that. And so I gave it to my grandparents and they put it in a bowl with a stick and a cucumber and it stayed alive for 2 years longer than it was supposed to, which was about a week.
Whoa.
Now, everyone, keep this in mind. Venomous creatures does extend to the platypus.
Yeah, a little guy
Ooh,
in my
I
house.
I love them.
Perry the Platypus is in a hat.
Perry the Platypus is a venomous creature in a hat.
There's something very gender about an animal that cannot be classified into any animal category.
You know, and with that, why don't we dive right in? Last time on Mage Hand High Five, you met Fax, the true puppeteer behind Echo's stagnant government. He revealed this to be intentional, hoping to curry favor with the Jamesons by trading Echo to them in exchange for unlimited access to Threed's information. A fight broke out, and you escaped the casino unscathed. Hayden, you ran to the train station to find Winona, but were unable to discover where she went. On the way, you ran into Cordran's bodyguard, Gore, briefing him, quickly, on the poker game gone foul. Wyatt, you met up with Davey, who expressed his discomfort with the group's influence on you. Salome, you met with Lysander, who revealed he'd been shown a map in a vision that he was afraid to put on canvas. But before he could clarify, however, he was suddenly abducted by Fax. Where you are now. Hayden, you are running back. You have, I believe, Longstrider cast upon you.
I do.
So you are making it there twice as fast as you normally would. As you are running down the dark avenue, you see another person walking on the other side of the street coming up your way, and you recognize this person. It's Davey.
Oh.
Oh.
Davey does not recognize you, however, because he never saw you in your true form.
and now he'll think you have 6 foot long legs.
He's not actually noticing much because you see him walking, his head is down. He seems disappointed, even downtrodden. And as he walks, you see him stop before a small chapel. He goes to the doors, turns, and sits down in front of them.
I skid to a halt, kicking dust up over my feet. Yep. Hey there, little one. Doing all right there?
He looks up. He says, oh, hello. Have you heard of the Eternal Flame?
Oh, buddy. I'm going to put a stop to this right here. Remember when you thought you were talking to Winona and then you discovered that it wasn't Winona? I was the not Winona.
Oh.
Hi, I'm Hayden Kincaid. Nice to meet you properly.
He flinches.
Hey, if you want me to step away, that's fine. I don't want to have any conversation that you don't feel comfortable with.
He says, sorry. You're one of Wyatt's new friends.
Yeah. We've been traveling together. Did something happen between you two?
Can I ask you a question?
Sure, absolutely. Fire away.
If you see someone doing something wrong, would you do something about it, even if what you were going to do was also wrong?
Ooh, well, that's a layered question. Here's the thing. I've had friends over the years that have done some mighty terrible things. And my guiding star has always been that they're still important to me, even if they do bad things. So I'd want to take care of them. And sometimes getting someone in trouble doesn't really help them. Sometimes it's about talking to them and showing them you care more than retribution. I've had plenty of people who have wronged me directly well beyond the telling of it, and it feels better for my heart to forgive than to rebuke.
He seems a little surprised at what he's hearing.
I had this mentor of sorts. He actually was a member of the church. His name was Father Muldenin. And, well, he showed me that what you might expect from someone doesn't always match up with how they act. And I don't know, I'm diverging a little bit. We're standing in front of a church and memories come up. But I was doing terrible things to Father Muldenin. And I was stealing and, well, rather than turning me in for it, he saw why I was doing it and understood it and just gave me a kind ear when I really needed it. And that made more difference than anything.
So your teacher was of the Eternal Flame.
That's right. There were other members of the church who did him dirty for helping me. But that's a whole another story.
Hayden, roll persuasion.
31. What does that do for you?
He thinks over what you said. He says, okay, I don't believe in hurting people. If they hurt me, that's on them. But I don't want to hurt people.
I think that's a good rule to stand by. There's a lot of people hurting people all around us, and you kind of got to pick your own guiding star. I'm glad I ran into you, Davey. I hope you have some time to think.
Davey starts to say, may the flame guide, and he stops. He says, may your guiding star lead you.
I hope whatever path you choose feels right to you. You have a good night. I'm kind of in the middle of a desperate run, so I'm going to get back to that.
Okay. Yeah, you were jogging pretty fast, it looked like. So you're really good at that. I hope you get to where you're
marathon.
Going.
Toodaloo.
Okay.
And a bucket.
You run off.
The Twin River Marathon.
Salome.
The bridge to Bog. Sorry.
The bridge to Bog.
It's an ultra marathon.
Yeah.
You're in Lysander's bedroom. You are staring at a portrait of a man in horn-rimmed glasses with Tom sitting on his shoulder.
Okay. Is it big enough to take with me? Is it small enough to take with me? Is it small enough?
Yeah. Yeah, it's right. It's wall art sized.
Okay, great. I'll take it. I'm going to take it with me. I think Salome realizes at this point, shit, Barabbas. And I sprint down the stairs and say, Barabbas, hey, Hayden, Wyatt, is anybody out there?
Barabbas is standing at the sort of at the street, arms crossed. He looks up at you.
Barabbas, I'm so sorry. I promise this wasn't me, but Lysander, Theo got taken. It was facts.
Shit.
A hole opened up and sucked him through it.
A hole opened up and sucked him through it.
Barabbas, I don't care what the Jamesons told you. You cannot possibly believe that I'm stupid enough to make the shit up.
Okay. I turn my back. You understand that I am here to protect him.
Yes, I do, which is why I
let him out of my gaze.
To tell you, I didn't let him do anything. He got snatched out right from under me.
If what you're saying is true, then we got to go to facts now.
Yeah, we do. Well, where's Hayden? Where's Wyatt? Have you seen anybody?
No, Wyatt. About this time, you are turning back from the alley that you were standing in. You walk out to the street, and there, arguing, are Barabbas and Salome. As you turn to them, without warning, a large hole rends the air behind Salome.
What the fuck?
It shimmers, and she is pulled through.
I'm sorry.
As it closes, you see a gaping, cavernous grin paired with a single burning, slitted eye. Is there anything you do in the seconds before it closes?
I'm sorry.
Gotta pick
Give
fast.
Me a second to see what spells I have.
The rip closes.
I try.
The rip closes.
Well, shit. At least Barabbas will believe me now.
Barabbas stares at the tear and says, "Okay."
Wyatt comes around the corner and sees this portal thing open, and he is just completely dejected from his conversation with Davey. And as Salome gets sucked away, he just goes, "What is that?"
Barabbas looks at you and says, "I think that was Fax."
What?
I don't know, kid. She just came out and told me that just happened to Theo.
Okay, we gotta find Hayden.
Yeah.
Hayden! Hayden!
Hayden, you are actually turning Hayden! The corner down this avenue. In the distance, you hear your name being called.
Oh, Hayden! Shit. I had too many conversations. Wyatt, yeah?
Winona? Hayden!
Hey. Kiddo, what's going on? What's going on?
Fact sucked Holloway. Fact hucked Holloway.
Fact hucked Holloway.
God damn it.
So, one more time?
Fact sucked Holloway through it. That's hard to say.
Yeah, fact sucked Holloway.
Keep trying, kiddo. One more time. You can do it.
Okay, sorry, I gotta take this a little slower. It's gonna be a little less urgent than it actually is. Uh-huh. Fax sucked Salome through a portal and we really need to go get her now. I don't really know what happened. That's what Barabbas said. Apparently, Theo's there too. I don't know.
Fucking what?
Yeah, I was just coming around all sad and then a portal opened up right behind Salome and just went whoop and she got portaled off.
Wonderful. All right. Do we have any way of calling the portal back?
Portal!
No! Damn it! Kid, I just...
I'm so sorry!
Even Barabbas so fucking sorry. Laughs at that.
Let's make a player more quiet, please.
Okay.
Barabbas, do you have any kind of magical capability whatsoever? I don't know what your skill set is.
He says, I'm a bounty hunter, a soldier.
Fuck it. All right. Wyatt, where was the portal exactly?
Right here. And he stands where the portal was.
This is all right. So funny to me. I'm so sorry.
Hayden has no skill at this, no relevant spell to cast, anything like that. Hayden's just going to sit in the middle of the street, right where the portal was going to be, hold their hand out and quiet their mind and feel the air and the energy and just see if they can pick up anything.
Okay. Roll an arcana check.
All right.
Portal!
I swear.
As Hayden is meditating.
One of these is bound to work.
That's an 11.
That's an 11. Okay. You're not sure if you could pick up the traces of a spell, but whether or not you could, you don't feel anything here. It just feels like normal air.
Hayden holds this position for a minute and then just sighs and goes, Jack, you listening?
You call out to Jack, and you hear a
hey there, friend.
Yes?
I have some business for you related to our shared primary objective.
I didn't realize you were going to be so needy.
I think that's on you.
It is on me.
I feel like I give off an energy of extreme neediness.
That's so true.
I mean, have you met me?
Oh. Bad judge character. All right. You need my help. How badly you need it?
Well, the child of Briar and another target that we've been focused on have both been sucked into a portal created by who I believe to be a high-ranking agent of Rhoda.
Damn. I might not get that favor from her, huh?
Not if you don't help us. Or, for all we know, she might be perfectly poised to give you that favor.
Interesting. All right.
Who are you talking to?
Oh, my freaky rabbit friend. Don't worry about it.
I don't think you're needy.
Oh.
What?
Oh, this is going to be complicated. All right.
Jack says, all right, I'll give you something for free.
Take a big, deep breath. Sniff.
What are you doing?
At the same time, Jack sniffs.
You're looking for some sort of spell?
I assumed it was a spell. It might be an ability.
Oh, the space here has been disturbed, but not by a spell. It's as if the space were always like that for a moment.
As though time was being manipulated in some way? Or the fabric of reality?
Reality itself.
Oh, I don't like
changed
that.
Changed for a moment.
Does that limit the number of beings who can do that?
I knew of beings that could do just that. But they were wiped out. Wiped out in the same breath that wiped out the Tellarins. The work of Rhoda.
Well, sounds like they didn't quite finish the job.
Seems not. Well, I don't remember much about them, but I'll tell you this. Don't catch them while they're sleeping.
Don't catch them while they're sleeping? That seems like the perfect time.
You'd think. But it ain't a weakness. It's an impenetrability.
Mm. Well, hope that helps. And then...
Better than nothing.
He's gone.
Well, Wyatt, I've got good news and bad news.
Okay, yes, and?
Which do you want first?
Bad, I guess. I don't know.
Good, because I don't actually have any good news. So, there was an ancient being. And that's what took Solomon. I don't really know anything about it, but might actually be not on the red-eyed god side. So, I suppose that's a slight positive. Or more just more things that hate us. But in any case, I think we're going to need to find out where Fax's hold up and go get him.
I can send a message to Salome with sending.
No reason not to see if she at least responds. If she doesn't respond, that's information in and of itself.
Yeah. Wyatt casts sending, targeting Salome.
Oh, you're like a regular postal worker.
I will stop you before you think out a message. The spell fizzles immediately.
Oh.
Hey, we have a problem. It didn't go through.
Suck a duck. All right. I'm trying out new swears. I realize you're a kid and I shouldn't be saying too many expletives around you. Suck a duck feels somehow more disturbing, so I'm gonna keep workshopping it.
I appreciate that. That one felt kind of weird.
Yeah, me too.
So, Casey, I've got a spell called Legend Lore that I could use to get a bunch of information about facts, but it's a fifth level spell, and I've already used my fifth level spell.
Mm.
Anyway, we can do
nap.
Some negotiating to get that back.
That's wild, actually. Hey, do you mind if I can just do this thing I can't do?
I got 20 bucks.
The thing is, it would be really cool for you to use this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind
That's why I'm asking.
It would be
pretty cool.
I'm kind of about it. Okay. I think for something like that, you would need to find like a holy place or like a church of the eternal flame. Somewhere where you can like, you can...
In this can, den like, of sin?
Yes. Yeah, where you can like petition for that spell slot.
Oh, well, Wyatt, this might be a little awkward. I actually ran into Davey on the way here.
Oh, okay.
But there's a church nearby. It's just that Davey's there. I don't know if that's...
Oh.
It seemed like the two of you had some sort of something happen. So if you need to rest up there or pray to your fiery whatever the... But... I'm really trying.
For Salome. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, let's go.
Barabbas, are you going to burst into flames or anything?
Barabbas says, I'll stand outside.
Valid.
Come on in. Convert. No, come on in. Come on in.
You head to the church. When you get there, Davey is not there.
Yeah, Wyatt's like peeking around the corner.
Yeah, the church, there's nobody on the steps. It's a church at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, this is nice.
It's a tiny little thing, but it seems well kept. And Wyatt, as soon as you go inside, you feel like home. There are pews on either side leading up to the pulpit at the front. There's a small lectern that looks pretty simple, except for the silver insignia of the flame set into the front. A large red and orange stained glass window hangs above your head as you walk in. And between the pulpit and the pews, on a pedestal directly in the center of the church, is a small flame. Wyatt, you'd know that inside every church of the Eternal Flame, there is a small fire like this that is continuously
kept lit. And Hayden, as you walk in, memories flood back to you of the times you would sneak into Father Muldenon's service.
I will step up to the flame at the pulpit, take a long-stemmed match that's laying beside it, light it, and move towards a side table where there are a bunch of unlit candles and light one for Father Muldenon.
Barabbas, come on.
Barabbas says, you do what you gotta do. And he sits out on the steps.
Wyatt walks in and, similar to Hayden, but because he can touch fire, like, scoops some in his hand and goes over and brings it to one of the candles and then goes and sits in the pew closest to the fire.
Is there anything you say?
Wyatt, looking into the flame, says, radiant are you, eternal flame who cleanses the world. Please grant me a bit of your warmth to find my friend.
Wyatt, roll a religion check.
It's a 24.
The flame grows brighter and brighter and brighter until it consumes your sight. Everything is in darkness. And then a light appears before you, one flame. And you feel its warmth. And last time, it was almost unbearable. This time, it's a little more bearable. And you feel the warmth, and you feel a scent, as if your wish has been given to you. But before you leave, before the flame withdraws from your eyes, you see something. You see the flame. There's something behind it. You can't quite make out what it is. There is something behind it? On it? Somehow? For a moment, you have a weird idea. One that maybe you dismiss outright. Can the flame have a parasite? And then you are back in the church. As you sit there, you feel your fifth level spell slot return to you. You feel the ability to cast this one usage of legend lore right now.
Why it cast fireball?
Blow up the church.
I think continuing to stare into the flame, Wyatt will cast, with that fifth level spell, will cast legend lore, describing everything he knows about Fax.
Would you just read out what legend lore says?
Yeah. So legend lore basically lets me describe a person, place, or object, and it gives me a brief summary about significant lore about the thing. It also has to be like a significant person. I can't just be like, hey, Timmy down the street, what's his deal?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to give me like specific rock hard information. It can give me kind of figurative language if it wants.
Well, in this case, legend lore is actually going to act similarly to identify in this world, in that it doesn't tell you. It shows you a series of images.
Ooh.
All right.
The first image is of Fax. However, in these images, whenever you see Fax, his form is blurred, as if few have actually glimpsed him truly. The only thing that is in detail are his fanged mouth and burning ember cat's eye. So in the first image, you see two eyes and two mouths,
and you feel as if one has just given life to the other. But even so, they now fight to the death. In the next, you see the victor, Fax, whispering in the ears of pioneers many, many years ago when gunslinger knights still scoured the Badlands. Unknowingly, at his behest, they plant their fledgling camp deep in the mountains, guiding the end of the silver metal railway directly to him. Salome, you wake up. It's weird. You don't remember falling asleep. You're seated, legs clutched to your chest. The ground beneath you is metal, so cold it stings to touch. You go to stretch your legs to find there's no room. Your eyes refocus. You're held in a cage, big enough to sit down, but not so big as to move around. You stand up.
Can I?
You can't. You can sort of edge your way up.
Yeah, no, definitely. Can I see anything?
You famously can't see in the dark.
Yeah, no, I can't see in the dark, so I better be lit in here. I can't see shit.
As you stand, the cage jostles, and you suddenly realize that it is suspended by a chain over an abyss. The chain is hooked onto a bar which spans into the darkness on either side of you. And as you come to terms with all of this, you hear deep laughter. Wyatt, in the next image, you see Fax laughing, mouth wide, as walls, doors, and streets slowly obscure him from view, the city closing him in as armor encloses a knight. The walls and doors become buildings, casinos, a university, the streets branching out like fingers or feelers or... In the next, you see a chess match, but the pieces are humans, dwarves, elves, orcs. Over the board, a wicked grin. Salome, the room is lit by a series of lanterns hung along the bar your cage hangs from. But there is another light in the room as well. Outside of the reach of the lanterns, a large hot ember cat's eye floats, bobbing slightly in time with the laughter. And as you watch, 10 more identical eyes open around it. And then he begins to approach, coming into the light. Wyatt, in the final image, you see him beneath a blood-red sun. Dark towers of ancient glass rise around him. He mouths words, and the red eye above responds to him, obeys him. And then he turns, and as he does, his form finally becomes clear to you, because at this very moment, Salome, you see him too. A massive, monstrous head, devoid of body, floating, leathery skin of deep orange brown, a gaping, grinning maw filled with rows of hooked teeth. Above it, a massive slitted eye, and sprouting from the sides, top, and back of its head body, 10 long stalks, each capped with a smaller, identical eye. Salome.
Yeah.
You see Fax truly for the first time.
Welcome to my world, my kingdom, my Alexandria.
And as he says this,
torches light the room in a wave sweeping out from the center of the wall behind Fax. This room, impossibly huge, consists entirely of bookshelves. There must be hundreds of thousands of books. It extends into the abyss below. So deep, you cannot see the bottom. And his laughter echoes throughout the cavernous library.
Of course, it is all for show in the end. Every single book I hold here.
He points to his leathery temple with an eye stalk.
I am boundless, a god unto myself. Mm. And when I am through, all will bow to me. For you see, even my dreams bow to me. I focus my desire, and my dreams make it so. I dreamt of you, and my dreams took you here. Dreamborn, I am.
Salome, so shaky, goes, "Oh, that's nice. You've been dreaming about me."
I dream of all within my city.
What are you?
That question catches him off guard. Roll insight.
Oh, that's very good. That is a 24.
You see his confidence falter.
Oh.
For a moment.
As if he doesn't know.
And then he continues.
It matters not.
Then why not tell me?
I am. And that is all.
Well, I guess I'm no stranger to small men and their big egos.
You talk of small, but I have seen more than your cockroach brain could possibly hold. I have been here before your grandfather's grandfather, and I will be here long after your children's children.
Well, I actually don't know too much about my granddaddy. We mostly just had my Nana Eve, but anyway.
his eye rolls upward slightly.
Yeah, no, we did more of a matrilineal thing, generally. My mom and my aunts are actually half-sisters, if you can believe it. I just figure since you collect information, aww, you know, you might want to know. Salome's just terrified and vamping right now.
Like, six of his 10 eyes glaze over.
As Salome explains how the Briar women come by children.
two of the eyes look at each other as if to be like, can you believe this?
And one is super intensely following along.
One's nodding.
Anyway, yeah, so that's how I came along. But
spare me. Count not these amongst my cares.
What do you care about?
I care about tokens. Tokens of good will, such as yourself.
Ah.
For you see, I count among my many talents my ability to ingratiate myself when need be. You shall be a gift, a token of good faith to the Jamesons, as she will be one to the church.
Oh, shit. Do you have Winona?
To your right, down the line of lanterns, you notice another cage hanging from the bar. In it a redhead young woman sits, seemingly unconscious.
Oh, shit.
No.
Don't you dare.
In fact,
don't
says,
you dare.
For once, she will have a purpose.
What did you do with Lashander?
The third.
He thinks. He says,
curious. I did not take him to ingratiate myself.
No, I don't think that would do you much good. What'd you take him for?
I took him.
With your insight, you see another moment of doubt.
Hmm.
As if he's thinking about it. He says,
it is no matter. Enough questions.
I'm coming to understand that the things you don't know the answer to seem to be the things that don't matter.
Time will prove what matters.
I believe you're right.
It will prove that all that matters is what I create. I am God, and you are nothing.
Like I said, small men and their big egos.
It would please me greatly to tear your limbs from your body, eat them one by one, and disintegrate your still screaming head. But I will not. You still have a purpose. I must go. For you see, I do have an upcoming trip across the continent for which to prepare.
Yeah, I suppose you gotta pack your things.
One more thing.
Fax moves an eye stalk behind him, reaching into a small satchel secured upon another. He then extends it, eye upturned, and floating above that eye is a small spherical object. It clicks open, and you see it is another eye, albeit an inorganic one. He floats it up to the bar, and it latches itself in place, eye staring down at you.
Mm.
And he says,
a gift. So you do not try to hurt yourself, scared animal that you are.
And then he drops.
Oh.
Into the abyss below. And he's gone.
Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I'm here to tell you about Dice Exploder, a podcast where each week me and a rotating co-host take one tabletop RPG mechanic, just one mechanic, and break it down as deep as we possibly can. If you love thinking about role-playing games and how they work, this is the show for you. Come listen to me talk to Alex Roberts about love and pity, John Harper about elegance and layout, and Mikey Ham about, what else? Exploding dice! It's an interview show, a review show, a design show, and most of all, a show for anyone who loves these games. Come on down and join us. Find Dice Exploder at DiceExploder.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Salome goes kind of weak at the knees, I think. I think she was really trying to keep it together, and I think she just drops to the bottom of the cage and takes a couple of deep breaths. But this eye, does it look like surveillance? Does it look like it's watching?
You don't know what it does.
Mm.
It's unmoving in its perch.
I mean, this is a little grim, but he said that this was something that was to prevent me from hurting myself.
Mm.
I look up at the eye and press the blade into my palm to see if it does anything.
You bleed.
Great. And I cast Lay on Hands for a couple of HP. To I'll give myself 10 HP, actually, though, just to, because I wasn't
actually,
at full.
Actually, oh. You will not. Because the moment you cast Lay on Hands, it fizzles out.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
Damn. Well, okay. Well, then I tie a little bit of fabric around it. Damn it. I try to cast any spell, a thorn whip out of ironwood, anything.
They fizzle one by one by one.
Damn it. Oh, hell. Okay. Do I see Lysander here? Or is it just Winona?
There are other cages strung along this beam. The closest one to you is Winona.
Okay.
I'd say about 45 feet away.
Okay.
The closest one on your other side contains a corpse.
Oof. Not anyone we recognize, though?
Not anyone you recognize. This corpse has been here for years.
Oof. Okay. I just call over Winona? Neihar, you awake? We're in a little bit too much trouble for you to be sleeping.
There's a long silence. Long enough that worry starts to creep in. As she still lays unmoving. Then... she coughs and sputters. And she blinks slowly.
Winona, hey, you all right? What happened to you?
She holds her head. And she says,
oh, what happened? Where am I?
Do you know anything about facts?
She sort of shakes her head and looks over at you. She says,
What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, that's a really good question. Does she sound drugged?
Salome, she's skunked.
Oh.
She's drunk.
Oh my god, she went to go drink after the conversation.
She is blasted.
Oh, baby. Okay.
She starts to struggle to her feet, and her cage rocks. And she goes, fuck.
Oh, darling, you're going to want to sit down. You're going to want to sit down, honey. Okay. Yeah, no, I know what you need. Hold on 1 second. Lean off the thing.
She fully blows chunks through the bars of the cage.
Pull your hair up. It's getting in your... Okay. Yeah. Wish I was there to... Do it for you. I'm a little far away. Next time, I gotcha.
Do you have any water?
Maybe. Yeah, I'll bet I'd carry some, wouldn't I?
You have a canteen.
Yeah.
45 feet away.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm checking to see if I have rope. 1 second. Yeah, I've got 50 feet of rope.
I think everybody starts out with rope.
Yeah, Salome takes... like some rope out of her bag that she hasn't really been using because she's been making roses and stuff, and ties her canteen and a little bit of willow bark to it. And I'll hold on to one end and then try to toss the other end toward Winona. And if I need to give it a couple tries, I'll give it a couple tries.
I will say you got nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
You try... many, many times.
Oh, it's a nat 20 on the second one, so I tried twice.
Yeah, okay. All right, you know what? You tried twice. The second time, the first time you throw it, it goes through her hands as she tries to catch it drunkenly. The second time, she catches it.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So
pulls it through.
Canteen's got water. Willow bark, you just want to chew on that for your headache a little bit. It's gonna taste bad, but it'll help with the headache.
She says, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm Winona.
Hi, Winona. I'm Salome, friend of Hayden's. I don't believe that we have had the pleasure of meeting.
She freezes.
Yeah, I know.
And looks up at you and says,
Salome Jameson?
Once upon a time.
As you say that, Hayden, you are in the church. You've been sitting as Wyatt has been sitting here silently. Hayden, what have you been doing this whole time?
I think after spending just a couple of minutes with the flame for Father Muldenon, Hayden would I think Hayden's pacing.
Mm.
Just a fundamental discomfort in being here settles in as more time passes. And so they're just pacing back and forth around the church.
You are pacing. So maybe you don't notice when Wyatt snaps his eyes open.
Yeah, probably not.
Wyatt.
He's in the mountain.
What? What mountain?
The mountain that this Echo is a mountain. I'm assuming, right? Because there's levels, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It is cemented deep into a mountainside.
Mm.
I mean, did you see anything in particular, or should we just barge in guns blazing? I got this new gun.
There was like this big creepy thing with a big eye and then a bunch of other little eyes. So you might be needing that.
Whew, all right.
Barabbas, come in. I'll let you know what I learned.
He's not coming in. Kiddo, he's Barabbas just not says, coming in.
Come out here.
No, you come in. It's great.
Nope.
I'm going to go outside.
Hayden, you step outside.
Fine.
And the temperature shifts. Perhaps without you noticing, the air outside is so cold compared to the inside of the church.
Are you not cold?
Barabbas tucks his jacket tighter around himself.
God, you're stubborn.
All right, Barabbas, it sounds like we're going after some kind of giant, many-eyed monster. You feel up for some hunting?
He sighs and says, nothing's ever easy.
Nope.
Do you know how to get into the mountain?
Do I know how to get into the mountain?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay.
I do not.
I love
him. He says, okay. What many-eyed beast? Facts?
I loop in Barabbas to everything.
Okay. Well, fuck.
Indeed.
Language.
Oh, right. Yeah, well, I'm trying this thing where I don't say shit and fuck and bitch and all those.
This completely passes by Barabbas as he's thinking. He says, all right, y'all been here longer than I have.
Oh.
Y'all know anything about facts?
They're kind of in charge of the university.
Is that something?
Oh, well, I suppose we could go to the university and see if there's a way in through that.
Okay. I mean, it's a start. You know, it's a start. Is there anything?
No bad ideas in the brainstorm.
He points at you, Hayden, and says, you would know this as a hunter, but you look for signs of your prey in particular.
Of course.
Things that would give away only your thing. What does Fax surround himself with? What does he want?
Knowledge.
Well, university would be a great place for that.
Absolutely.
I don't know that it narrows down any place in particular.
Well, why not the library?
The library is certainly an option.
We can sneak onto the university grounds at night. Three strangers in a university.
What about Dr. Bancroft? My new tutor.
That's a damn fine idea, son.
Oh, because she was supposed to meet with him. Yeah, no, let's go talk with... Let's go talk with Dr. Bancroft. And maybe...
Sasha,
you know what else?
Bethany, and
Sasha, Bethany, and Gerard would be able to beat up facts.
Wait. We have an army at our disposal. Let's go to the university.
Off
we
mic.
We have so many people.
Off mic, you remember that Dr. Bancroft was not able to catch the last train into Echo before the train line shut down.
Sasha, Bethany, and Gerard were.
But
Sasha, motherfucking Bethany, and Gerard were.
They were able to make it back to the university safely.
I got three best friends over that university.
Wyatt cast legend lore on Sasha. Jesus fuck.
You only need to cast it on Bethany, honestly.
Yeah, it Sasha definitely fizzles on
Sasha's
Sasha.
Struggling.
Oh, you know, Sasha was the one that sucked.
Sasha's going through a lot right now.
Sasha! Bethany!
Kit, we're nowhere near the university. We need to just start walking.
You,
Gerard!
God. You head to the university. As you go, you duck down a couple alleys because there are slotomatons walking around.
Mm.
You hear the
of the wheels spinning in their chest.
Oh, only 10 gold? Ugh, leave it.
And you head up to the University of Echo. The campus is on the third level and is the only building not dedicated to the Echo government on this one. The campus sits deep into the inside of the level, nestled beneath the fourth above, with some of its buildings rising up to meet it. The gates are closed for the night, and there is a guard on duty outside. They sit arms crossed at their chair.
Hi. I was hoping to meet with my tutor, Dr. Helena Bancroft.
Kid, it's 1:30.
Knowledge never sleeps.
What's your argument for that one, huh? I mean, why are you here?
This totally takes them aback. They're like, okay.
Even though it's 1 a.m, Wyatt is bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
he just got refreshing invigorated prayer
from the church.
Kid, okay. Listen, kid, why don't you come back tomorrow? I'm sure whatever professor you're looking for is going to be awake by then. Like, I'm sure they're asleep, nestled tightly in their bed. I wish I were. So why don't you do the same?
Daddy, you said they would let me in to learn.
Barabbas looks at you, and you see a look cross his face that says, oh, I'm Daddy.
I'm so glad that's on audio.
Oh, brother.
Hayden picks up what Wyatt is attempting to do and just goes, you're right, honey. You're the one who thought this was a good idea, so you better help him out.
Barabbas looks at both of you and then says, yup, it's on me. Listen, I apologize for my son. Is there any way that we could... We missed his appointment. It was scheduled... Listen, if he doesn't get tutored tonight, tomorrow is the big exam and he's going to fail. And if he does, he gets held back a grade. We're just trying to do our due diligence as parents.
I am a member of the PTA. And I will make sure that the PTA knows that you denied my son access to his education. Do you hear me?
Barabbas says, oh, here we go. You got them started.
Crying.
The guard says, oh my God.
I'm never gonna be anybody.
Oh God. Oh,
not
God.
If you don't pass
okay.
this test.
Okay.
I'm screaming so much in this episode.
Okay, listen. I'll have somebody check on the teacher that you're talking about. If they're up, or if they have, you know, like a grad student or something.
We will rouse a grad
Actually, if you
student,
want to reach out specifically to one of her grad students, her name is Bethany, I'm sure she'd be able to help us out.
Okay. Yeah, I will do that.
Bethany's the best of her grad students.
Okay. Wow.
Wyatt knows all this from Salome's mind meld.
It really stood out.
Yeah, it was very pertinent information. The guard summons to another guard stationed inside. They exchange words. The other guard seems really confused, but then turns and heads into the university. And this guard says, okay, it's going to be a minute.
Wyatt sits.
On the ground.
Just crisscross applesauce.
Okay. The card says, okay.
But while we're here, what questions do you have about the Eternal Flame?
The guard looks at you, Hayden, as well as Barabbas. And Barabbas just gives like a tired parent shrug.
Hayden starts to tear up and goes, "That's my special boy."
God.
Okay, Casey, I will say that you were the one who took Salome, the kind of grounding wire of our group, away. So this is not you.
Yeah.
While y'all wait, Salome.
Yeah. What's happening, Winona, over here? I'm sure it's real funny.
I'm sure. Sorry. Winona shoots daggers at you and says,
"You.
Mm-hmm.
You are a killer."
That is true. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
You killed somebody. And you're going to get Hayden in trouble.
I am not going to get Hayden in trouble. Look, I did kill somebody. In fact, I've killed a couple people now. But the rest of them were all...
Jeez.
In battle. Listen, darling, sometimes it is just a little bit too easy to find yourself in a room with somebody standing between you and the door.
She leans back and says, "Could have run."
I tried. I don't know that we need to get into all this right now, but I tried. And I did what I did. And I was a little too naive to leave a note. Hell, we'd been married 10 years. I figured I owed him a conversation.
You gotta leave a note.
Yeah. No, I know. I know you may. But I just thought... I don't know. I guess I thought he'd understand. I thought he cared a little bit, at least, you know? Anyway, I was real naive, and I thought that I owed him an explanation in person. Because, you know, that's what you do. You end things, and you try to end things well. And obviously things did not end well. But I didn't set out to kill him, I promise. I loved him as much as he let me.
Is this true?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
She holds her head. And she says,
"You can take a break for a second. You don't.
I don't.
We don't have to. It seems like we got time. We don't have to play 20 questions about my life right now. We can take it easy if you like."
She takes another sip of the water, chews a little bit of the bark.
"But listen, it ain't about me. I'll answer whatever questions you have about myself if that helps. But what I can say is that I promise you I have no desire other than to protect Hayden and make sure that they are okay. They have chosen to travel with me of their own accord, and I don't think I could stop them if I tried. I mean, you know how stubborn they are better than I do."
She nods slowly.
"There was a time all the way back in Providence when I tried to leave because I didn't want to get them involved. And they chose to get involved because..."
"Because they're an idiot."
"Well, yeah, a little
bit. An idiot likes to get involved.
They are a little bit of an idiot who likes to get..." "Did I tell you one time they went after a werebear by them damn self?"
"Fucking, that sounds like them."
"Yeah, no, they did. And they ended up Shit's Creek without a paddle, or up the... Of rope trip without a rope, more like, but anyway.
Of course, they're always getting themselves hurt.
Yeah, yeah, no, they are. And,
You see Winona tearing up.
Hey,
as she says these things.
"Okay. Hey, honey, what's going on? What's going on? Talk to me."
I thought I was protecting them. I thought I was protecting them by running away, but you, have you been..." She starts to stumble over her words again. She says, "I wonder if I ran not because to protect them, I ran because I run."
"Well, under normal circumstances, this is when I would tell you what my Aunt Mags always used to say, which is that a good night's sleep and a drink of water can be
good for the spirit in a situation like this. But I don't know, honey. Sometimes when you feel like you've got your back to a wall, you run. And sometimes you freeze. And sometimes you have to fight your way out. And I don't know that you can fault yourself for running if that's what your body told you to do.
But I can't. I tried. I went to the train station to run. And as she says this, the water, the bark, it's slowly starting to sober her up.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I tried to run and I couldn't.
Hmm.
I waited for them and they didn't show up. And I could have gotten on the train, but I didn't. All I've ever done is run, and now I can't even do that.
Hmm.
Fuck am I good for?
Honey, to me that sounds like growth. If you ain't proud of yourself for running, be proud of yourself for staying. You love somebody. They're your family. They're your sibling. Of course you didn't run. They've told me so much about you. That you kept the Pipers together. That you were their sister. That you were family to them. I would never expect you to run away from them. Of course you stayed. You stayed because you love them. Not because you ain't good for anything.
But what if I... But what if I make the wrong choice again? What if I let the wrong people in?
You probably will. Honestly, there will probably be a time in your life where you let the wrong people in again. There will probably be a time in my life where I do the same. At a certain point, you have to decide whether the cost of letting in the wrong people is worth the benefit of letting in the right ones. If you don't let anybody in, you're going to be alone.
By letting a Jameson.
Darling, I could talk with you about that for years.
Well.
Hell, I let one take me away from home and keep me in three for 10 years.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And then I let it in his brother, and I kind of took a little bit of a shine to him because he seems nice. And I regret that a little bit more by the second, but here we are.
Sorry, there's four of them.
Lysander.
I guess three of them now. Which one? Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No.
Just, okay.
That's okay. No, the other two haven't quite nestled their way into the inner circle of my heart, but Lysander seems, well, it seems a damn sight better than Thaddeus, I'll tell you that.
Hmm.
For what it's worth, he doesn't act like his brothers do.
It's kind of quiet. A little weird.
It reminds me a little bit of my Aunt Mags. She's a musician. She's an artist, too, though. She can't focus if she doesn't have her instrument in her hand. God forbid anybody try to talk to her while she's not playing a little bit of music or doing something with her hands. And she always says that the trick is give her an instrument to play, give her something to do with her hands if you have to have a serious conversation with her. She ain't going to be able to follow. I don't know, Lysander seems like the artist type, like somebody who's always more comfortable doing two things at once. I brought him paints, just in case that would help.
I mean, I don't know if anything's going to help right now.
Yeah.
I don't know where we are. Did the church catch us?
No, this is something else and somebody else, and I do not know how to describe what or who he is.
Okay.
It's Fax, the leader of the university. He did say, though, I guess pertinent information, he is planning to sell me out to the two Jameson brothers who aren't already here, and you to the church as a token of goodwill, because he plans on giving up the city of Echo to Threed and accompanying them to their stores of knowledge and get into place in whatever new government they are setting up, which is, by the way, news to me.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
What do we do?
Well, I think first we got to get out of these little bird cages. And I think we got to make up the rest from there. Maybe we find Lysander.
I don't have my lockpicks. They're in my bag.
Would this work? Solomon pulls out Belinda's hairpin.
I think it might.
Yeah?
And as you say that, we cut back to Hayden and Wyatt and Barabbas.
Daddy, I'm bored.
I know, sweetie baby. We'll be in there soon.
Parent!
You see the guard inside returning with not one, not two, but three exhausted grad students, all in their jammies, blankets wrapped around them.
He just holds their arms out and goes, "Hey!"
Hayden, you, and Wyatt, to an extent, you also recognize Sasha, Bethany, and Gerard. They walk outside, and you can see all three of them go, "Oh."
How's my favorite ass-kicking researchers?
The guard looks at them, and the grad students say, yeah, we know them. And you are let onto campus grounds. You walk off to the side with the trio. The guards resume their posts. And Bethany says, "Okay, Hayden."
"Great to see you."
"Yep, we are seeing you." And there's also this guy points at Barabbas, and you... points at Wyatt, a child.
"Hi, I'm Wyatt Forsyth. Nice to meet you."
Bethany says, "Okay, pleasure.
What questions do you have about the Church of the Eternal Flame?"
Not now.
"Wow, then you're good to go."
Gerard silently shakes his head. Sasha says, "Okay, so what are you here for?"
"Well, this is gonna be possibly some very strange information for you to hear, but you remember Salome, of course, right?"
"Yeah."
"Well, she has been kidnapped by the head of this institution, and we need help retrieving her."
They look at each other for a second and they go, "Dean Welton?
Mr. Fax?" "Mr. Fax happens to be a giant, many eyeballed, ancient, eldritch monster thing."
They sort of look at each other and they go, "Well, I mean, he's mysterious, but I don't think he's a monster."
"No, literally, he is a giant monster."
"Yeah, he's got one really big eye and a massive mouth, and not in the like hyperbolic way, but in the literal way. Do you know how to get in the mountain?"
"Okay, so you're telling me that Fax is a monster that abducted Salome?"
"Correct."
"And lives in the mountain."
"Okay, what are you going to do?"
"Well, we will retrieve Salome, and let's be honest, in all likelihood, we will kill this giant monster."
"That's really in his court."
Sasha says, "You're going to kill the university benefactor?"
"Yes, that is correct."
"We'll set up a trust. Don't worry about it."
You
God, Wyatt's got some zingers this episode.
Money won't be a problem.
You see Sasha actually start to hyperventilate a little bit, and she says, Oh my god. The university will lose its funding, and what I've dedicated the last 4 years of my life to will go down the drain, and Dr. Bancroft will lose her job."
"You do know what a trust is, right?"
Bethany turns to her and says, "Shut up, Sasha." She says, "There's bigger things going on, and they saved us in that auditorium."
"You were actually quite helpful in all of that."
"Well, Bethany was."
Gerard looks at you a little pointedly.
"You were in the middle. It's okay. You were on the positive side.
You know, Fax doesn't really strike me as the kind of person who's written up a will of any kind, and I can confirm that he has no living relatives. So it's possible that his entire fortune will just go straight to the university.
This gives all three of them pause.
Or you.
This gives them more pause.
Or me.
Yeah, Barabbas, how are you with forgery? Do you think that you could help us put together a fake will?
Barabbas sort of like shakes his hand like, nah.
All right, we'll work on it.
Bethany says, is this going to help people?
Enormously.
I sit for a second. And then Gerard, the quiet one, pipes up and says, our degree is in Badlands preservation. So let's preserve it.
That's my guy.
That's really beautiful. That's really beautiful. I love that.
And the trio all nod in agreement, and they start to lead you through the halls of the university. And Bethany says, okay, no one's ever seen him. Envelopes from him arrive on people's desks. Nobody knows for sure where he lives, but they turn a corner and you see a massive pair of oak doors, and above them a sign that says library. She says it is rumored he has a wing in the library, the forbidden section. Big, scary doors, completely sealed. No one is allowed in. But there is a book return slot on the door, and one night I got curious and I snuck into the library and I saw a courier taking envelopes from it. It's kind of a joke amongst the students that he lives there. I guess he might actually live there.
Yeah.
Okay. You push your way into the library. The library is beautiful. It is a beautiful room. There are oak bookcases, rolling ladders that allow you to climb up to the second shelves of books, tables with books flipped open, stacks appearing on the librarian's desk. Light from the moon streams in, but in the back wall, as you proceed forward, stands a pair of massive iron doors. They stand out of place with the rest of the library, with runes and carvings etched into its surface. You come before these doors, and they feel cold. In fact, as you approach them, you feel the cold.
Barabbas, you touch it.
Salome.
Yeah.
Winona begins guiding you through the act of lockpicking.
Oh, I love it.
She says, okay, so you're going to want something to push the pins and something to rotate the lock.
Okay.
You have like a...
So sorry to tell you, I am real clumsy.
Matter of fact, you know what? Just to be safe, because I stole this off a friend, I'm going to tie Belinda's hairpin to my wrist like a little kid with a balloon just to make sure I don't lose it.
Perfect. Okay, you fashion it to your wrist.
Just in case. Knowing me, I'd drop it.
She says,
I used to think it was the petticoats, but it's not. I think it's just me.
Yeah, no, okay. So you're going to want to slide it into the lock and press up on the pins as you are turning the lock with another tool.
I think I've got a dagger, maybe? Or like...
Yeah, okay.
Some earrings?
That should work like something flat that will turn the lock.
All right, sure. Yeah, I got this dagger. Let's try it out.
Okay. Stick the flat thing in. Stick the pointy thing in. And you want to try and hit the tumblers to move...
The what?
The tumbler. Oh, boy. Okay. So inside the lock, she starts to put on the voice that she used with the younger Pipers.
Mm-hmm.
And says, so you are going to use the long pointy one to push up on a couple of things inside that are keeping the middle part from spinning.
Oh, I think I felt something.
You feel one click into place.
Oh, something moved. Oh, that's real exciting. Okay, do I just keep doing this?
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Depending on the lock, there may be another, you know, two to four more.
Okay, I'm
gonna
try.
So just keep feeling around.
Okay.
Salome, roll a sleight of hand check.
Oh,
and
no.
And roll it with advantage.
Okay. With advantage, that is, an 11.
You feel the tumbler slide back into place.
Shit. Okay, hell. I'm so sorry. Okay, listen, I'm going to try to beat hell out of this lock. If that doesn't work, maybe I'll tie this little pin to a little rope and send it over to you so you can do what you know how to do. Okay. One second, actually. Can I attack the eye?
Sure.
I want to try to get... No, I'm going to get the lock open first, and then I'm going to try to attack the eye.
Okay. Roll attack.
That is a... This is 16 and a 17.
Those both hit.
27 damage?
You smash this lock open.
I think Solomon gets a little bit frustrated with the finesse of the lock picking thing. And then is like, hold on just one second. And then I put my hair back up with Belinda's hairpin and then just beat the shit out of the lock until
yes.
it clicks open.
You smash it open in one go. And Winona goes, oh, yeah, that also works.
Yeah, some people are a little more built for finesse, and I don't, unfortunately, think that I am one of them.
The door swings open, and now you have an open door to the abyss.
All right, well, that's something. Hell, yeah, I'm going to try to attack the eye, too, while I'm at it.
Okay.
Nothing ominous about open door to the abyss.
Yeah, that's a 20 and a 25.
You hit. Roll damage.
God, I'm scared. 26.
You hit the eye, and it cracks. And as it cracks, you see the magic inside leaking out. And then it releases a small damaging everything around it.
Shit.
Including the hook upon which your cage hangs.
Oh,
okay.
Winona says, shit, Salome. And as she says that, you feel the hook begin to give way.
Oh, okay. Well, I have this rope in my hand, so I'm going to throw the rope really quick around the pole that the hook is suspended from and grab the other end of it. So it's like a little zipline situation.
Make an athletics check.
Okay. I am proficient in this, believe it or not. That is a... 22.
Woo! 22. Okay. The rope goes over as it drops to meet you. And as you begin to reach out to grab it, the hook breaks. And you begin to plummet into the abyss. As the cage begins to plummet, I need you to make a check to grab onto the other side of the rope.
Oh, another one. Okay, I thought that was the athletics check.
The athletics check was to throw it over the bar.
All right, that's another 25.
Okay. The cage begins to plummet, and at the last second, you grab onto the rope as the cage passes you and falls down, down, down. It disappears, and you do not hear it hit the bottom.
Okay. Well, I am a little worried that that would alert Fax to our presence, so we might have to get a little bit of a move on. I'm so sorry. I just wanted to see what that would do. On my way to you, and I scoot with the rope over to Winona.
You start to shimmy across the bar.
And then I just kind of perch on top of her cage and lower the hairpin into it and say, all right, darling, well, hey, this is kind of fun. Show me how it's done. I want to see a master at work here.
The lock clicks open. It just... She clicks it open.
Oh, that's elegant.
Hands you back the hairpin, and then begins climbing up the cage.
You taught Hayden how to do that, didn't you?
lady I taught them everything they know.
Yeah, that makes sense. They do that same kind of little hand flourish you just did at the end there. Hey, by the way, can I come in? I'm still a little unstable out here.
Winona's like on the side of the cage.
Oh, okay. Well, let's just get out of here then. And then I think we'll both crawl out and start kind of shimmying our way to wherever solid ground seems to be.
Just
yeah.
Yeah, you start shimmying your way along the bar. When you make it to the edge, you see that the bar connects with one of the bookshelves. And you see, up and to the left, a tunnel that leads into the bookshelf and away.
Seems like the best place to go.
Roll acrobatics.
Oh, I'm bad at this one.
I know.
That's a 16.
Okay. You both climb the bookshelf.
Ooh.
Shimmy across and then climb your way up, pulling yourself up onto the ledge. You climb your way up, make it over, and you look back, and Winona, at the last second, her foot slips on a book.
Shit.
And she begins to tumble back.
Oh, can I reach out a hand to get her?
Roll a dexterity save.
A dexterity save. Okay. She has, if she's making any saving throws, she has got a +5 to them if she's within 10 feet of me, just so you know.
Ooh, okay. Let's do this.
That's really bad. That's a 9 on my end with a +6.
You reach out a hand. She sprawls back, her hands grasping at anything they can. Your hand passes through them.
Mm.
And then she grabs onto your hand at the last second.
Oh my God, you can't do this to me. Okay.
You pull her back onto the lip.
Oh.
And you both stand out of breath.
Oh Lord, that was scary. You okay?
She looks at you and she says, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. We've been out doing this shit for months. I still haven't got used to it. This is bad.
Okay. Let's keep going.
Yeah, let's see if we can find Lysander and see if we can get the hell out of here, yeah?
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
And you both turn and head down the hall.
As we're walking, I think I'm going to take a little page out of Maggie's book and just, like, hip check her a little bit and be like, we did pretty good back there, you and me.
Yeah, she doesn't quite know how to take that and looks at you, and then her mouth quirks up just a little bit. She says, yeah, I guess we do. Aiden and Wyatt, you stand at the doors to Fax's library.
Mm.
Bethany, Sasha, and Gerard look at you and go, well, have a safe journey.
Yeah, that makes sense. Y'all get some sleep. Y'all ought to give us plenty of help.
I'm so sorry. I think we would slow you down.
That's probably true.
Don't be rude, Hayden.
They're researchers. They can just go sleep.
You saw what Bethany did.
That's all my combat experience.
Oh,
that's
you didn't?
The first and only time I have seen the horrors of war.
You didn't stay in practice?
What? I
no like mixed martial arts.
Listen,
in the quad.
Listen, I tried. It didn't stick.
Oh, okay.
I made a resolution to myself, and I stopped after a month.
You know what, kids? Y'all go on, head back. You gave us what we needed. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
We'll come by and see you when we're not actively in danger.
Listen, if Fax turns out to be a monster and you kill him, don't die.
Great. That's the plan.
Appreciated.
And they turn and head back to their dorms.
Did you say that there was a mail slot?
There is a mail slot.
Can I peek through it?
You peek through it. Beyond the door. Roll a perception check.
That's an 11.
With an 11, you look, and beyond the door, it is pitch black. You can't make anything out.
In that case, I would like to cast, like 60 feet away from the door, as far as I can cast it, I would like to cast Daylight.
Mm.
You cast Daylight 60 feet into the room beyond. You see the light blossom in the air, a small flame, and it illuminates nothing. For there is nothing within its reach to illuminate.
I test the handle on the door. Is it locked?
It is unlocked.
I just push the door open.
You start to push it and it is heavy.
I push you hard.
You push hard.
There you go. That's D&D, baby.
You push open these massive, heavy doors to walk in, and you have to catch yourself. Because beyond the threshold is nothing. A black abyss hangs below you, stretching up into the inky black above as if the entire mountain were hollowed out. You see Wyatt's flame sitting there in the open space, 60 feet away. What do you do?
I reach into my bag and grab the oldest, hardest bran muffin I have and drop it down to hear when it lands.
Jesus.
Oh, wait. Before you let go, I cast the light cantrip on it.
Smart.
On the bran muffin? A lit muffin.
God. You drop this stoned muffin.
God.
It illuminates its way down, casting light on the wall as it travels down. And you see that the wall that this doorway is built into is a bookshelf. The most massive bookshelf you've ever seen in your life. There must be thousands of books. The light passes and continues and continues and continues until it fades into a dot and blinks out.
Mm.
You do not hear it hit the bottom. You stand upon the abyss. Anyone who wants to roll a straight intelligence check.
All right.
This is not why it's
none of us are
specialty.
Good at this.
It's the second two in a row I've rolled, which makes it a one.
No.
Oop.
A dirty one.
And I got a six.
Oh, Lord.
You got a six.
God, we need Stump back. I say this every episode, but we need Stump back.
You know what? The check was a five. This is very easy to perceive. You look up at the wall that continues above you as it stretches on into infinity, and you realize that it does not match up with the geography of the mountain that it is built into.
Okay.
You see that this space, it's wrong. It doesn't fit into the geography of the world that it is set into. It is set apart. It is warped.
It's like a big rope trick, Hayden. I don't know why I'm whispering.
I think that's pretty close to what it is, yeah.
That would probably be why my spell couldn't get through.
And as you notice this, you both hear from deep within the bowels of the library.
Welcome, guests of my domain.
And with that, we'll pick up next time. Thank you.
much for listening to another episode of Mage Hand High Five, The Badlands. Want to show your support for our show? Want to hear us talk more about it? Then check out our Patreon at patreon.com/magehandhighfive. For just $5 a month, you get access to all kinds of extra goodies like early access to merch, peeks behind Casey's GM screen, and a whole second extra podcast, Mage Hand Down Low, where we talk about the behind the scenes of the episodes. Not to mention, you can help support small creators as we work on this passion project just for you. Check us out at patreon.com/magehandhighfive. Thanks to Jacob Kirzner for our music and Shane Smith for our logo and cover art. Check out our website at www.magehandhighfive.com and look for us all across social media. We are on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Discord, Blue Sky, and wherever else we may be, we're going to be there at Magehand High Five. Go to your podcatcher of choice and throw a 5-star review our way. We would love it. It's very sweet. And you would make us happy and you would help us with algorithms and reach and growing and all of those lovely things. So please do it. And now I'm going to shout out all of our subscribers on Patreon. And I'm going to do it in one breath. Theo Wells, White, Line, Lindsay, Dale Heimbecker, DM Dippyfresh, Darth Zelda, Deborah Jacobson, Jackson Maurer, Ocarina Sonata, Mads the Jellycube, Morgan Faber, Kathleen Ayers, Kellen Wilbur, Trout Relief, Chronic Dreamer, Patrick Hickman, Debbie, Nathan Ritter, Chicken, Too Tasty, Evan Noon, Avery Spar, Am Lovelies, Allison DeBelvis, Doss Carpenter, Diana Bacon, Al Forstoki, Liz Spar, Carrie Lee, Jonathan Gunn, Tyler Gardner, El DeSoul, Jolotta Pang, Laura Al, Chloe Utley, and Sammy Richardson. Wow, even with the stumble, that wasn't too tough. Come on, give me a real challenge. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your foes about the show. Go to the little boy who lives down the lane. And when you do, use the hashtag MHH5 and hey, how about a high five?